Dave the Builder on KFM with Premier Timber Frame Homes, your expert guide to self-built homes. PremierTimberFrameHomes.ie.
Yeah, Dave McManus of Premier Timber Frame Homes with us in studio again this morning. And Dave, I have to say, this topic that we're going to be discussing this morning, quite an interesting one. We're talking about Airbnb and glamping pods as well. Now, you might have to explain to a few of us, it was far from glamping that we were raised. What is glamping? And then tell us a bit about Airbnb as well.
Yeah, so I suppose glamping is the name comes from glorious camping. So originally we would have all only known camping growing up. There was nothing glorious about it, although it was good old sport when we were doing it, you know. So it's just a 5-star way of camping, basically. And for instance, we done a project down in Lemmy Bryan in the Comera Mountains, and we didn't actually do the pods or the glamping pods, but we done the communal unit. But basically, there was somebody that had a lovely piece of land beside the river and the mountains, and they developed it into a glamping site, you know. So you go in and you have the amenities of, you know, your kitchen, your bathroom, your showers, but you have the comfort of a nice little warm, eco-friendly little glamping pod, you know. And you can go in and there's a couple of beds, and you might, if you're really lucky, you might even have a little shower and a toilet in there as well. So
to put it into plain English, you're camping but you're not roughing it.
Yes,
right? You're
absolutely
not roughing it. You have a little bit of luxury when you're camping, so not roughing it. But I know messages are coming in already, and we have some questions coming in. Building Airbnb then, what about that?
So we get quite a lot of questions, and we get quite a lot of interest in people that want to build Airbnbs in different parts of the country. So instead of someone going for a full glamping site, they might be in the position, for instance, there was a guy that we done a house for in Cavan, and he was overlooking the lakes in Cavan, and he is intending to put in one or two glamping pods, you know. So he's going for planning permission for them pods. So like, that could be a little side hustle for him. And look, there's a lot, he's on a couple of acres. It's not anything huge, but he's in a nice, you know, secluded spot with a lovely view, and there's a potential there for a small business, you know.
Yeah, Tracy has texted in. She says, we live in Blessington. We live beside a field that we just inherited. It's overlooking the lakes. We have lots of ideas, but the funds are low. Are there any grants that might be available for Airbnbs or glamping sites?
I know there is definitely for glamping sites and the bigger stuff. A couple of years ago, I know there was a couple looking into it, and they told me that you can get up to 70% of the costs of building. Now, just for people to be aware that you'd get that money at the end of the project, you know, so you will have to find a way to fund the project up to completion. So that's in regards to the smaller stuff like Airbnb, I don't know how small it goes down to, you know.
Yeah, John in Rathangan says that we are on 100 acres in the county. We have forestry on the land and rivers and canals running through our property. Can we get planning permission for something to rent as an Airbnb? If so, what are the first steps?
Yeah, like definitely worth a chat with the county council. He sounds like he's in the perfect position there for it. I know this time last year there was actually grants up to 200,000, especially for farmers that wanted to use their agricultural land as, you know, that type of thing. So it'd probably be no harm to approach, give the county council a call. You know, and if they really wanted to go ahead with it, you know, get a small design done, get a couple of photos and go in and meet the county council, do kind of a pre-planning meeting and discuss it with them, and, you know, they'll definitely send you in the right direction.
Yeah, similarly, there's no name to this message, but it says, Dave, I saw your story on Instagram this morning. From what we have been hearing on the radio and newspapers, the councils are getting very strict on letting Airbnbs. Will this cause a problem in building an Airbnb?
Well, it really does depend on the place, of course. So if you're in what's called a rent pressure zone, you know, towns, cities, you obviously you're not going to get something there. I'm not going to say you're not, but it's going to be very hard to. Obviously, if you're in a town or a village in Ireland that has a population less than 5,000, you have a much higher chance of getting planning permission for an Airbnb. You know what I mean? So that's what I'd say. Especially if you have if you're on a greenway or a blueway or a scenic route, you know, you have a really good chance, to be honest.
In terms of glamping, then, I know that like really anything can be considered. Like, you can turn old horse boxes into a glamping site. You can turn you can build them from, you know, like wood cabins or log cabins. Anything can be, like, I think down in Electric Picnic they have a glamping site as well. So really, you can let your imagination run wild.
You can, yeah, absolutely. I let your imagination run wild. That's kind of called creative purposing. And I've seen across the world people using old aeroplanes, containers. You can do some magnificent stuff with containers, obviously, because you have the structural strength, you know. So if you were to do even a two-story, which I've seen in the UK and stuff like that, you've also floating boats, and you wouldn't see this one quite commonly, but tree houses in America and places where they have the huge trees, you know, you can actually do a big tree house and you can use that as a glamping site. So it's all very interesting. I've also seen underground dwellings, so stuff that would have been used for underground, whether it be, you know, trains going through hills and stuff like that. We've seen stuff like that converted, not particularly in Ireland, but it is a good idea and a creative way of getting your Airbnb, you know.
There's a place in, I think it's Norway, that's on the bucket list, where they're like glass domes and you can lie down and have a look up at the northern lights and all of that. Not sure if you do it here in Ireland, it'd just be rain beating off the roof of the domes, but yeah, it's an interesting one. Molly in Salins has texted in. She says this is not really anything to do with glamping or to do with Airbnbs, but she says she has a draft coming in from her window. They're quite old. Would you recommend trying to seal up the window or just get new windows in completely?
Yeah, look, if they are quite old, like we'd always say, you know, you could give the window doctor a ring. You could seal up along it. If it is a really old window that's not been used, do you know what I mean? You could potentially seal up along it, but it could be kind of turning a window that can open and close into a window that's not able to open and close anymore. And then, look, you always have the... I'm not sure if there's still grants for upgrading your windows and doors. I know there was over the last few years, but it might be something to check out the government website there on grants for windows and doors. So there are options there anyway.
Shane in Newbridge texts in to say that I know Dave was on a couple of weeks ago talking about doors, but he missed the interview. Well, you can get it up in our podcast section, and I know, Dave, you have it up on your Instagram, but he just wants to know what are the different options that are available and what would you recommend that's kind of the best weatherproof door for the front and the back.
Yeah, like... Look at, like, even a standard PVC door, it's going to do the trick, you know what I mean? PVC, the frame on the PVC has a decent thermal value. Obviously, you know, you're going to have your starting range in price, your medium range and your higher range. Obviously, the higher range is going to be a better door. For front doors now, we kind of see composite doors being quite popular in Ireland. And even if we're buying in from the continent of Europe at the moment, the doors that we're using, And you'll see the upgraded ones. It'd be kind of like an aluminium structure of a door, which are very, very pleasing to the eye, and you know, they're good for, you know, windproofing and heatproof, peat loss and everything.
Claire in Monastrevin texted in to say, not sure if Dave will have the answer for this, but if you are building a house to let it out on Airbnb or building a glamping site, do you need to register then as a business, or are you just a landlord, or what way does that work?
Well, look, at building a house for Airbnb, you need to let the planning authority know anyway. I'd get in touch with Fáilte Ireland, because you're going to need a registration number, and it's definitely, it's especially with the way there is a bit of a clampdown on Airbnb at the moment, so you just have to let the proper authorities know. So that'd be definitely my advice for her.
Okay, any other bits and pieces then in relation to glamping or Airbnb or anything else that we haven't touched on yet?
Yeah, look, just a couple of things, I suppose. If you're in a rent pressure zone and you're planning to do Airbnb, you know, you're at the moment you're only allowed 15 days a year. So if you were going abroad for a couple of weeks and you needed someone to cover the rent, you can get someone in for about 15 days out of the year. Doesn't have to be consecutively. And in a normal residence, so let's say if there was somebody renting accommodation in Carlow, student accommodation, you're allowed to do Airbnb up to about 90 days at the moment. So obviously your students are only going to be in for 7 or 8 months. So the other 90 days you can't actually let it out for Airbnb. But things are getting stricter, and I see on the government website there. So keep an eye on it. And you know, if you ever need any information, you're welcome to give us a call, or even Citizens Advice actually have a lot on their website as well.
I think the whole of Kildare is a rent pressure zone, if memory serves me right, just because of its proximity to Dublin and populations, etc. So that would kind of apply to everybody here in the county. Remind us again your Instagram page and best ways for people to get in touch with you.
Absolutely. So we're just updating the website at the moment. So hopefully by Friday we'll have all our projects from last year on the website. So that's www.premiertimberframehomes.ie, and the Instagram and the TikTok is Dave at Premier Timberframe Homes, and the Facebook is just Premier Timberframe Homes.
Good stuff. Dave McManus, great to talk to you again. We'll do it again same time next Thursday just after 10 o'clock.
Kildare Today with Owen Beatty.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Just want to catch up on some messages very briefly. Adrian in Selbridge says the government should be ashamed of themselves for clamping down on Airbnb and then blaming us for their housing crisis. While JD says the cost of living, and he sends in an angry face. He says carbon tax increases next week on gas, etc. He's blaming the Green Party on that. He says I'm a broken Irish man in my so-called home country. Car insurance is up and others are coming in with big cars, no taxes, etc. JD saying it's horrible here and unhappy with the cost of living here in Ireland. Another thing that a lot of people are unhappy with is that no funding was provided over the last 6 years to open adult eating disorder treatment beds. The HSE has confirmed that. That means that a plan to open 20 new beds by 2023 went completely unfunded, and Ireland currently has just 3 public beds in the entire country which offer specialist treatment for those with eating disorders. Well, Brendan O'Shea, Newbridge GP, spokesperson for the Kildare Faculty of the ICGP and Assistant Professor for Primary Care at Trinity College in Dublin, joins us on the line now. Brendan, I mean, we talk about the bed crisis and the bed shortage, the staffing crisis, etc. But this is surely just unacceptable, is it not?
Well, we've been saying it is, and this really is deja vu, and it's another situation where it's an important condition. There was a clear strategy or plan put in place. We're spending more than enough money on health in this country. That's not the issue. And a complete failure to deliver in relation to 20 inpatient beds for this important condition. This is the HSE again. We're having this conversation about eating disorders, listening to the evidence in relation to the emergency department in Limerick Regional. It's everywhere. It's an inability to manage and to deliver. And it really, it isn't good enough, but that's what it is.
The only existing public specialist eating disorder treatment beds for adults in Ireland are the 3 that I referenced there. They're located in St Vincent's University Hospital in Dublin. People impacted by eating disorders outside of that catchment area for these beds who go into public hospitals, they're normally referred to a general psychiatric unit where they don't receive that specialised care. So they're falling in between the cracks.
They're not cracks, they're chasms. On one hand, serious eating disorders are relatively uncommon, fortunately. But let's look at the beds. Where are they? They're in St Vincent's. They're in Dublin 4. They're in an affluent part of Dublin City, which is the most affluent part of the country. So those of us who have a concern in relation to social medicine, we find this even more frustrating. It's the inverse care law, which states that the people who are most likely in need of a service are least likely to get it. And it's really operating in our health system where the quality of management is poor, where there's a failure to actually implement strategy. Again, in terms of KFM listeners, how worried should we be about this? Serious eating disorders, fortunately, are uncommon. But when they are present, they are really serious. They can be catastrophic. They can be fatal. They have a huge impact on the individual and a huge impact on the family. In their defence, the HSE are saying that they made a strategic decision. Yes, they haven't put the 20 inpatient beds in place and scattered them reasonably around the country, but that they have worked to set up treatment hubs. And there is some merit in that. It doesn't resolve the issue for the real serious spectrum cases, but having multidisciplinary teams readily accessible, quickly accessible, that is an important achievement. But overall, this is another fail on the part of the HSE.
Social Democrats leader Holly Kearns raised the issue in the Dáil, saying that it seems the government doesn't understand how serious eating disorders are. She says, over the years, I've spoken to parents who've been forced to speak publicly about what they're going through to set up GoFundMe pages to get the care that they need. I've spoken to parents that are at their wits' end watching their children quite literally waste away in disbelief that there's no support for them. Does it come back to this discrepancy, Brendan, between the services that people can access based on their ability to pay? So public versus private again.
It is. And again, it's not a discrepancy. It's another chasm. And how this plays out in practice is very straightforward. This is the way it plays out for serious spectrum eating disorders and for example, ADHD, that people who are able to purchase more care have quicker and more reliable access to the expertise. And in our part of the country, how it plays out, it is possible to access outpatient and specialist services privately if you're able to pay for them. There's still a significant waiting time for it. And that same report that we're working on this morning correctly observes that sometimes people will even go to the UK to have services provided. Who can afford it? But many households can't afford it. And certainly in general practices, it's one of our stressors where we ask these questions when it comes to the management decision. Well, where will we get this done? And the next question is well, how are you paying for your medical? Have you got a medical card or have you got private health insurance? Are you one of the third of the population who are in the gap and who have neither? And that sets people up on quite different care pathways.
Do we run the risk, Brendan, and I'm sure there are parents listening this morning and parents around the country who have been in this situation, but do we run the risk of parents throwing their hands up in the air and saying there's no point in even trying because there are no beds available and the supports aren't there? So what would you say to those parents that have a child or somebody themselves that are struggling with an eating disorder and they feel as though they've nowhere to turn?
Parents never cease to struggle. It's just written into their DNA, and the efforts that they go to and their sustained input in the vast majority of cases is inspiring, and it makes up for some of the mismanagement, to be perfectly honest. It's not uncommon for most adolescents to go through periods where their eating habits are dreadful, and there are various reasons for this. And they do this at a time when their nutritional requirements are greatest in life, when they're going through their adolescent growth spurt. So this is a cause of concern to parents. So it is good to understand whether there's a serious issue here or not. So to understand what's going on in the child's life, to understand as best you can what it is that they're eating, to look out for any significant red flags, for example, serious binging or making themselves sick or misuse of drugs to lose weight. And if there's a growing focus and concern around eating and avoiding calories. So there's a spectrum there. And certainly if you find yourself being worried or seriously considering it, a conversation in practice can be helpful. The sort of things that we'll do, we'll take a more detailed history, we'll check a body mass index, and we might track it over 3 or 6 months. And going into the detail here will often indicate what are the stressors that are active in the adolescent's life, and to address those stressors, And when that's done over time, the abnormal eating pattern often normalizes, and that's what happens in most cases. The incidence of serious eating disorder is in the order of about 0.02%. So serious eating disorders are relatively uncommon. But for those serious cases, there is a need for a certain capacity in terms of inpatient beds, and certainly the hubs that are being set up in theory are good, but it's a question of capacity. I don't think the government doesn't understand this. I think the problem is getting the HSE to actually deliver the service. And it's not that we're not making enough money available for it. Our per capita spend on health in Ireland is way up there, along with most other affluent societies. I think our per capita spend is in the order of 5,000 euros per annum per individual in the state. So it's not that we're short of money, it's how the money is being spent.
Brendan O'Shea, Newbridge GP, spokesperson for the Kildare Faculty of the ICGP and Assistant Professor for Primary Care at Trinity College in Dublin. Thanks as always for your time. I just want to give out some helplines and information resources that might be of benefit to people who might have been impacted by that discussion this morning in terms of eating disorders. BodyWise, the Eating Disorders Association of Ireland, they have a website, www.bodywise.ie, and that's BODYWHYS.ie, BodyWise. And also they have a helpline which is 01 210 7906, 01 210 7906, and they can point you hopefully in the right direction. Elaine Fagan joins me by phone this morning because the Salons GAA All-Stars programme is kicking off next month. Elaine, welcome to the programme. Good to talk to you.
Good morning, Owen. How are you?
I'm good. What's the All-Stars programme, the GAA for All? What's it all about?
This is a training session that we're offering for children with additional needs. Salons have undergone some major changes over the last year with the introduction of our Astro. And with this new facility, we were very aware that we wanted to extend what we were offering to our community. And that meant opening up to all members of our community. So this is why we've started the GAA All Stars in the Club. And it's going to be on Fridays from 4 to 5pm.
Super stuff. I know, and there are a few other clubs that are doing this around the county, and I don't want to name them all because I'll forget some of them, but just I want to say a big shout out to St. Kevin's and Rathcoffee, who I think were one of the first to bring this initiative to Kildare, and some of the other clubs as well. But for children with additional needs, Elaine, it's important that they don't feel as though they're being left out or left behind. And oftentimes, as children grow older, you know, sport can get a lot more competitive, etc. This is all about the fun side of GAA.
Yes, it is. We're very aware as a community that, you know, our GAA club states on our webpage that we're, you know, we're a community club. That means we need to include everyone. That means children with additional needs need to have a place and a space within our club where they're included, where they're, you know, part of the team. And that with this camp in mind, or with this training, we're looking at, you know, developing skills, games, fun and socialisation and friendship, not just for the children, but also for their families, also for their parents. It's really important that when we're launching this, that we can remember that this is about inclusivity and it's making sure that the children feel like part of the club.
It's going to run weekly from the 3rd of May up until the 28th of June. Hard to believe, by the way, that next week, next Friday, is the 3rd of May. Going to run up until the 28th of June, so kicks off next Friday. It's free for existing members of Salons GAA. New members pay a one-time membership fee of €10. Is that right? How do people contact you?
They can contact us through our website where there are links. They can also contact us by email. The email is up on our website. It's salonsgaaforall@outlook.ie. If they want to contact us there, they can contact. If they send me an email, I can also forward on my phone number and we can talk through what it is that we are hoping to achieve with this camp. And just also to say that we're running from the 3rd of May up to the 28th of June, but this is just Stream one. We do hope and aim to continue this training for the foreseeable future, with a view to extending it past the 12 years of age.
Good stuff. You're not going to have border control on the Millicent Bridge from Clane or from the motorway bridge from Naas either. It's not just limited to those within Sallins. If there's anybody in the surrounding areas.
Yeah, absolutely. If there's any members of any other clubs or just parents who are looking for a place to bring their children to help improve their social skills or just to feel like they're part of the community, they're more than welcome. We're open to anyone who would like to join us. There's no restrictions on where you live or how far you come. Everybody is welcome to join us.
Great initiative. Fair play to all the clubs around Kildare that have been taking up this GAA All-Stars programme. And I think it's great. In Sallins GAA, running from next Friday to the 28th of June. It's free for existing members, and new members will pay a one-time membership fee of €10. It's open to children with additional needs between the ages of 5 and 12 years. Elaine Fagan, thanks for your time and best of luck with that campus. Starting next week.
Kildare Today with Owen Beatty.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Independent councillor on the Selbridge-Leixlip Municipal District, Ida Cusson, is with us now. And Ida, before we talk about some of the issues you raised with Kildare County Council, deja vu in Selbridge, water's gone again, this time out in Hazelhatch.
Yeah, same area again. And likewise, as I said before, do you have to check the online every morning, see if you're going to have water today or not? It's like Groundhog Day again here in Selbridge, that part of Selbridge. I've been on to Irish Water. First of all, they didn't know about it. Then they did know about it. Now they do know about it. And they've answered one of my reps I put in. It actually refers back to the 10th of April. When I read it, I say, oh, looks like it's fixed. Actually, it's not fixed. So as we speak right now, I have to get back on to Irish Water and see where exactly they're at. So, yeah. It's Groundhog Day again, and we really need this resolved.
Yeah, very frustrating for residents, and I know a lot of them are calling for tankers or something to be brought in, because water keeps going continuously, something has to be done. What about an update on the assessment of the Agards Road, Shackleton Road junction there in Selbridge?
Yeah, it's something that I've been asking for a couple of years. The dynamics have changed here at that junction. It's a very busy road. The two roads meet there at a T-junction, the Agards Road and the Shackleton Road in Selbridge. So we have dozens of buses every day navigating that junction daily. They come in, they come towards cyclists, hundreds of cyclists, which is wonderful to see, mostly school, young school-going people, pedestrians, motorised vehicles, all coming towards the same junction. But the problem is that nothing has changed since we now have bus connects and dozens of buses, etc., using that route also. So it is an unsignalised junction. We have indicative cycle lanes on both sides of the Agards Road, and they come towards the Shackleton Road then, and obviously we see dangers there. So the ramp at the junction, it's very basic, the ramp is practically disintegrated. It isn't even red anymore there. So there's lots of things that needed to be looked at there. The answer back is there's no room to widen the junction, obviously, so they can't change the width. The active travel team have done a second design for the NTA to look for funding. Really, I can't overemphasise how important it is that KCC address this junction as a priority. That's where it was left at on Friday.
Yourself and Councillor Vanessa Liston have both been raising the Liffey Valley Park at the last number of meetings of the Selbridge-Leixlip Municipal District. You had a couple of questions down about this.
No, they're two separate things, even though the Liffey is mentioned about doing. Myself and Councillor Liston were asking about what's the special area amenities order. So to know what that is, obviously the Planning and Development Act 2000 amended makes provision for the identification or designation of a special area amenities order. That's an area that can be declared with the planning, where the planning authority considers the area to be of outstanding natural beauty or its special recreational value. So it requires ministerial consent. That's the important thing. This is the stage zero of this, basically, where we're looking for a position paper, a scoping report, where we look to see where and what we can actually look to see, can we have a special area amenities order on part of the Liffey Valley that is in Kildare. There is a special area amenities order that comes from Lucan to almost to Leixlip there, following the River Liffey is where you are again, of course. It's the Liffey Valley area. And we have objectives in our county development plan where we would look to designate an area in the Leixlip area specifically of the Liffey Valley. So unfortunately, we have asked for that back in last October and we were told we would have it for quarter one this year. But due to staffing resources, they haven't the report for us, unfortunately. So we're back to looking to see where that's at.
What about the other one then in relation to Liffey Valley?
Yeah, this is good news at least, thankfully, after all of that, because there's a grant scheme that local authorities apply to called the Outdoor Recreation Infrastructure Scheme. And there is an objective within our area that we would have a Liffey Valley Park. So Liffey Valley Park obviously runs alongside the Liffey. So since 2006, between Dublin and Kildare, there was a huge amount of work put into a document called Towards the Liffey Valley Park, which is effectively a greenway connecting what we would call like the jewels in a necklace along the Liffey, all the little areas along the Liffey. So we, in 2015, I was put on an advisory committee for that Liffey Valley Park. It didn't meet. It was in Dublin's remit with one councillor from Kildare on it. I continuously, however, looked to ensure that the Liffey Valley Park concept would be pursued with objectives in the county development plan, the local area plan, keeping it on the agenda the whole time. So the good news now is that I worked with the Parks Department to make an application to this funding scheme for the feasibility study for the development of a greenway from Leixlip to Selbridge. So that will be phase one of the Liffey Valley Park. And that's underway now. The tenders have received consultants to be appointed. So we will then obviously look to proceed from that part of the Liffey Valley Park onwards from Selbridge as well. So this is phase one of that. And it is good news because we would love to have a Liffey Valley Park.
Finally, and briefly on this one, Ida, any update on the Civic Amenity Centre for North Kildare?
Yeah, unfortunately, no. Other than we're actually told that it will happen, and the reason why it will happen is because it's now the local authorities' remit to deliver it. There are no grant schemes open currently for any civic amenity centre to apply for funding for one. In fact, they're all being reviewed, we were told back a few months ago, so there isn't a funding scheme to apply for. But the area office, people will be familiar with the area office in Maynooth, that's locating out to the M4 area as well. And it is intended that the Civic Amenity Centre and the area office will co-locate on site. There is some funding from Capital there, and also we have been told that work is underway now to deliver it there. So I don't see any reason to not believe that it won't happen there.
Independent councillor on the Selbridge Leixlip Municipal District, Ida Cusson. Thanks for that, Ida. I want to go to an email that came into us this morning, and in the subject line it says SOS. So we had a look at it, myself and producers Emma, Hannah and Annie, and when we read into the email it says 21 kids from Newbridge, Kilcullen and Monastrevin have been left in limbo as flight cancellations mean that they may not get to Paris for a martial arts competition, which they're meant to be flying out tomorrow. And one of the concerned parents is Colm Moore, and he's with me on the line now. Colm, thanks for taking our call at such short notice, and thanks for getting in touch with us. What's happening and what are the concerns?
Well, Owen, good morning. Thanks. And thanks for having me. This is great. Well, what's happened is we were actually due to fly out this morning, so that was all cancelled. We found that out yesterday with devastation. So the competition is running Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and we've got Disneyland lined up on Monday. And the kids have been working for months, really, preparing for this. And they even gave up their Easter holidays to train 2 hours a day. Really dedicated. It's underfunded. We've no funding. We're on a shoestring. And we're really just appealing to people to try and keep the hopes alive to try and medal at the European Championships in Epernay in France.
Yeah, a lot of flights have been cancelled because of an air traffic controller strike over in France. And now you're kind of looking at what options you might have to try and get the kids over to France without turning around and disappointing them and saying, sorry,
exactly.
Lads, it can't happen.
That's it. Like, when we can get back, we just can't get there. And so we've tried ferries, we've tried buses, we're even looking at chartering a flight where we could be flying into Cologne in Germany and then busing it over. We just don't have the funds. We're kind of taking a punt on that. So we're really just appealing to people to they can help us out.
So what you've done is set up a GoFundMe page with a target of raising money. €2,500, you're saying, would be needed to get the children over to Paris. As you say, you can get back. So far, you've raised around €500. And how can people donate if they have a couple of bob and they want to help the kids out get over to Paris?
Exactly. To have a few bob, that was set up originally as an emergency fund in case we had an accident. But we're now using it to say, well, look, we need emergency transport. So it's under GoFundMe.com and it's under Ovidiu Comsa. That's Ovidiu Comsa, Comsa. And it's the tagline is Martial Arts Team Representing Ireland. And if you can just dip in, a little bit helps, I'll tell you. Get this dream to the kids.
Yeah, so again, the name of the person who's organised it is Ovidiu Comsa, which is Ovidiu Comsa, and as you say, it's under the heading Martial Arts Team Representing Ireland in Europe. These are all local kids aged from 8 to 14 from Newbridge, Kilcullen and Monastrevin, Colm.
Yes, they are. It's multicultural. It's a multicultural team. We're Irish, we're Indian, we're Romanian. The whole gamut is covered. But they're all in living in Kildare and going to school and, you know, just doing what kids do.
Absolutely. Well, look, I know it's a huge deal for them to get over to this Martial Arts European Championship event. And this is obviously unforeseen, the fact that the airstrike has happened. So if anybody can help out and donate a few bob to try and get those kids over to Paris, then go on to GoFundMe.com. And Colm Moore, if anybody gets in touch, maybe any parents or anyone that wants to help out, Colm, we might pass them on your details.
Absolutely, you can pass them on my details. So they'll take any calls, yeah.
All right, listen, thanks for coming on the programme and issuing that call out, and hopefully things get sorted, because I know a lot of work has gone into it. That is Colm Moore, one of those concerned parents. Thanks, Colm, and good morning. Yeah, unfortunately, with those airstrikes, I know a lot of other people have been affected by that, but just with kids that are so young trying to get over to a Martial Arts European Championship that they've worked so hard for, it would be devastating to have to say, look, sorry, we're not going to be able to get you over to Paris. So again, GoFundMe.com, and if you look for Martial Arts Team Representing Ireland in Europe, and if you have a few bob to spare, you might think about giving it to them.